John chapter 19, verse 1 and 2, and I'm going to talk to you this morning. It's a very, very, very topical presentation. I just want to encourage you. John chapter 19, verse 1 and 2, which is where we're going to end today. They took Jesus, our Lord, and they scourged him. Read.
And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns.
What did they do? They twisted together what? Is everybody with us? They did what?
Twisted together.
They twisted together a crown of thorns and did what?
Put it on his head.
Put it on his head. Read.
And put a purple robe on him.
That's it. We can stop right there. I want to talk about the theology of thorns. And that's really what I want to talk about. Don't get caught up into the topic. I've used the topic before, but I want to take a different angle. I've spoke this in a very succinct form to the evening service, and not many people come to the evening worship, but perhaps it'll be an encouragement for you. I found that the things that encourage me have a tendency to encourage other people. There are sermons that are special and are meticulously prepared based upon the direction of this congregation. And then there's something called your personal study. I'm going to tell you something. If you're only studying to teach, if you're a teacher here or a minister here, and you're only studying to teach other people, you're going to starve in the presence of food. You and I, and this is for everybody at this point, you have got to get a regular diet of the Word of God. If you don't have a habit of having one of the things I call it, and I'm just stopping by here, and my girls and family knows, and I even asked them about this. I call it a meeting. You need to have a meeting with God. How many of you have Google Calendar? Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. You use Google Calendar? Put God on there like you would somebody you were meeting about a business deal or you were trying to network with. Have a meeting with God where you talk to him uninterrupted, door closed, prayer closet, whatever it is, and you let him talk to you. Otherwise, you will become a church member, which is a problem already because God didn't call us to be church members, who gets fed once a week. And how many of you would tolerate that in a literal sense? No. We wouldn't tolerate eating one day a week. Let's remember that just what food is to the body is what the Word of God is to the soul. Amen? And so in personal study, and I talked this before, I want to talk about thorn theology. First of all, everything in the Bible that we read about has a beginning. If you read about something in Matthew, you better believe that its beginning is not in Matthew. So there's a thing called the law of first mention where you go to where a thing started to understand and see the patterns of that thing throughout the Bible. The law of first mention. The law of first mention says you learn about a thing by where it is first talked about or discussed or where it first appears in the scriptures. Are you understanding this? Law first mention. If you want to know what marriage looks like and what marriage looks like in its purest form, you go to where the first marriage was. Are you understanding that? You don't start with David. You go to God's original model. And just as the book of Genesis is the beginning for good things, it is the beginning for things that are not so good. And one of the things that are not so good that we find in the beginning in Genesis is we see where thorns come from, the existence of thorns. Everybody say thorns. I want you to look in Genesis chapter 3. I want you to see some things. And we're going to see that thorns in their original form was the development and came about based on sin. There would be no thorns based on sin. And then I'm going to get a little scientific with you so that you can understand what thorns are scientifically. It's going to make so much sense. And then we're going to talk about, we're going to give application. Because some of us have some thorns we're dealing with. And all of the thorns that we're dealing with are not thorns that are imposed by other people. Some of them are self-imposed. Amen? All right, so I need everybody to listen. Genesis chapter 3, start with verse number 17. The Bible says what?
Then to Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife.
Okay, Adam and Eve messes up, right? Adam and Eve messes up. You remember the beginning of the garden scene. You know, God said you can eat of every tree in the garden except for this tree in the middle of the garden. Adam and Eve, where Eve comes and the devil comes, tempts Eve, says, you know, did God say you can eat of every tree? They have this little conversation, and for the first time, man takes directive. Man who was given authority takes directives from the woman and is influenced by the woman. And this is not a battle of the sexes. This is just how it goes. Because whenever things don't stay the way God made them, it will never turn out all right. Amen. Okay. God set things up a certain way. Whenever it doesn't stay the way God makes it, it's gonna be disastrous. There's gonna be chaos. Humanity didn't stay the way God made us, and this is why we have the world we live in. Well, it messed everything up. It didn't just mess Adam and Eve up. It messed everything up. So look what God says in this verse. The Bible says what?
And have eaten from the tree.
Because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife and of Eve and eaten from the tree, read.
About which I've commanded you.
That I told you not to.
Saying you should not eat from it.
Read.
Cursed is the ground.
Watch the curse. Now you got all of the blessings and curses begin in the book of Genesis. There is a curse, and there are a series of curses throughout the Bible, a series of blessings, and it might do us some good to look at the blessings and the curses throughout the Bible and see how they affect us as Christians today and how they affect the world today. God says, because you messed up, watch this, you're not cursed. Now, you're going to die. That was the promise. That was the threat. But because you messed up, cursed is the what? Everybody say, cursed is the ground. Now, so what you have is you have this perfect garden where everything grew perfectly, where water came up from the ground, no need for a sprinkler system, no need for rain, didn't even exist till the day of Noah. Everything was all right. All Adam had to do was tend to the garden, dress the garden, make sure things were all right and the way God made them. Very easy job. He had a high-paying job with very little effort. Isn't that the American dream? To have a job where you make a lot of money but don't have to do a whole lot of laborious work. Anybody got that kind of job in here? Say amen or put your head down. But anyway, that's what you had. He said, because you messed up, guess what's going to happen now? Cursed is the ground because of you. You see this? What would be the manifestation of the curse of the ground? Look what the text says.
In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life.
Go back. Cursed is the ground because of you. Read.
Because you have listened to the voice of your wife.
Uh-huh.
Cursed from the tree which I've commanded you, saying you
Read.
Shall not eat from it.
Read.
Cursed is the ground because of you.
Read.
In toil you will
Here's
eat
it.
Of
in
it.
Here's it. In toil. Read.
All the days of your life.
Read.
Both thorns and thistles.
Here it is. Both thorns and thistles. You don't see these things until this point. Okay? Number two, you don't see that he would have to labor dealing with the ground. But because he sinned, watch what God did. God turned the ground against Adam by cursing it. And what used to come easy to Adam now becomes difficult. Here's a principle. Sin will always demote you to where what used to be easy becomes difficult. Sin will cause you to be in a situation where what used to come natural and what used to be easy and what used to just happen organically now comes with resistance and toil. And he says, thorns and thistles shall come out of the ground because of you. Now, scientifically, a thorn scientifically, it represents two things. Number one, it represents agriculture that has no value. Worthless agriculture has no value to us. Thorns have no value to us. Do you know what else it represents? Scientifically, thorns. And when I say thorns, th- Thorns can mean briars, it can mean thistles, it can mean needles. There are certain trees that produce thorns that produce fruit as well. Blackberries, if you like blackberries, if you're going to get blackberries, you're not going to get blackberries easy. Because that tree, though it has sweet fruit, has sharp thorns. What thorns are scientifically is nature's way of protecting itself. It's a defense mechanism for agriculture. It was nature's way of being defensive and now no longer being vulnerable. When Adam and Eve sinned, nature put its guard up against Adam. And one of the ways nature put its guard up against Adam was the production of thorns based on the curse that God declared would be on the ground. So now what used to be something that nature cooperated with would become something that Adam had to work extra hard for to get. How many of you know that you can't even enjoy some roses? The roses you see at the store and you go to Albertsons and buy them the way they are, that's not the way they come. Somebody had to take the time to deal with the thorns, because the thorns represent nature's way of protecting itself. And now the nature has hostility with humanity because of sin. Does that make sense? So now something beautiful has a defense up. It is the extension of a branch. It was the development and the evolution of a plant's way of protecting itself to put off worthless agriculture, because the agriculture is not productive, it is defensive. There you have thorns. Thorns. Adam now has to deal with thorns. Adam now has to deal with something he didn't have to deal with before because he messed up. God said the ground is cursed, and what used to happen easy now is going to come with thorns. What used to be comfortable now is going to be uncomfortable. What used to cost you nothing now may cost some pain because the ground is cursed. And there are some thorns in your life and my life that are not imposed by somebody else, but there are some situations that all of us are in right now that are more difficult than they had to be because sin got involved somewhere in the picture. Somehow, some way, we've messed up along the way. I'm not going to leave us there, but we need to understand, before we understand John 19:2 and the significance of what we see in John, we got to understand the shape of the world. It wasn't just the humanity that was affected by sin. The world was affected by sin. Nature was affected by sin. Nature itself would produce worthless agriculture, things in agriculture that gave nothing but could possibly take something. Things that did not have any purpose or good purpose or value to man, now that would be productive. How many of us have things in our lives that bring no value? Now, there are some that would contend everything in my life brings value. No, no, no. There are some mistakes we can make that will leave us with things in our lives that are burdensome but don't bring value. They are burdensome. There are things in our lives that if we did not mess up the way we messed up, if we didn't do the things we do, if we didn't make the decisions we make, life for us would be so much easier. Things would go so much smoother. But because of sin, and because we faltered, and because we've fallen, and because we made some mistakes, not mistakes as in accidents, but we misstepped, we missed the mark. Now we're having to cope with some things that don't bring us value. And guess what? You're having to work through those things to get the good things that God has for you. Sometimes, now watch this. God didn't take away the blessing. He didn't say the apple tree will no longer give you apples. The blueberry bush will no longer give you blueberries. What he in essence is saying is those sweet things are there, but now you're going to have to wade and sift and dodge and duck and weave through some other painful things to get the... How many of you have ever had to get a blessing but go through some pain to get it? It is the very essence of childbirth that represents that as well. What used to come easy now has to be difficult because of my sin, because of my mistake, because of my iniquity, because of my transgression. Now what used to be simple has become complicated. Does anyone deal with anything complicated that didn't have to be as complicated as it is? It's a thorn. To the woman, he says, you know, because you messed up, in pain shall you bear children. That's why some of you pregnant women, when you were pregnant, you walked around here wobbling with an attitude, ankles swelling up the cankles, and your nose all over your face and hurting. Oh, I got to sit down and all this and the back and all. Do you want epidural? No, I don't want epidural. Okay, I want epidural. I mean, you go through all of that and you push and you breathe and you push and you breathe and it hurts and it hurts. It didn't have to be that way. But sin will complicate your life. And for man, it brought about this thing called thorns. Numbers. That was the self-imposed thorn, the things we bring about in our own lives that wouldn't be there if we didn't make the mistakes we made. And I don't care who you are in here. Everybody in here has something in your life that's there because you messed up. Because you said the wrong thing. You did the wrong thing. It's there. And you have to deal with it. And you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray. And you're blessed. Don't get it wrong. You get to taste the fruit. You get to taste the blueberry. You get to taste the wild apple and all of the fruits, that trees that produce sweet fruit. But you do it now with thorns. And so no matter how easy it looked, all of us have a thorn testimony because of thorn theology. Look what else happens. Numbers. Book of Numbers. Chapter 33. Verse 54 and 55. Y'all all right in here? Say amen.
Amen.
Just want to talk to us. And you say, well, I thought this was going to be encouraging. I know I got things that are going on. I know this and that. I got, and life is hard. It is hard. But you don't appreciate redemption until you appreciate the slavery and bondage. That's why America is in a spoiled nation. Our freedom has made this country a country full of ingrates who have more expectation than appreciation. Even as a group of people, the different ethnic groups of people were closer under the dreaded hand of affliction. And sometimes the curse is when it comes too easy. But I'm here to tell you that God has a strange way of taking a curse and making it a blessing. Look here, this is another time thorns is used. The Bible says in Numbers 33, beginning with verse 54. Now, I want you to know that if we're reading Numbers, we're reading the time period between when Israel left Egypt and went into Canaan. So this is in the wilderness. God is giving his people his law, and he's giving them not just his law, but the warnings associated. They were going into something new. They were going into their destiny. They were going into what God had for them, but they were not just to go into what God had for them, but God warned them about some things that they had to look out for when they came into what God had them, okay? It is that God loves us so much that he doesn't just let us go into the blessing. He warns us about the things that we need to be warned about so that we can keep what God gave us. See, the issue is not God doesn't bless us. The issue is sometimes we don't know how to keep the blessing. And so with every blessing, God gives a warning so that we know how to maintain the blessing, and not only maintain the blessing, but retain the blessing. Because if you are not given the warnings and don't follow the warnings of God, he doesn't warn us just because he doesn't warn us as a God that sits high and looks low and gives us a bunch of rules. No, he warns us because he wants us to keep what he blessed us with. So this is what he says. Read.
You shall inherit the land by lot according to your families. To the larger you shall give more inheritance, and to the smaller you shall give less inheritance.
This is Numbers 33, right? 54. Read.
Wherever the lot falls to anyone, that shall be his.
Okay, so now he's saying, when you go into this land, this is how you're going to divide the land. Everybody stay with me. You're going to give the land out like this, okay? This is how you're going to get it, right? Just imagine, you're about to go. It's about, you know, you're about to go get this. You're about to go get this. God is blessing you with this, right? He's blessing you with all of this. He's saying, okay, this is how you divide it up, right? This is how you divide it up. Look at verse number 55.
But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land.
Now you're going into this land. The land is yours. It's your possession. Go possess what I'm giving you. It's yours. I'm giving it to you. But this is what you need to do. If you don't drive out what's in the land, watch this. He's telling his people, look, you get to divide the land. You've been slaves for 400 plus years. And in just 40 years, you're about to have your own land. I need you to understand this. This meant a lot for them. They never were a people with their own land. They were Israelites under the hand of Egypt. Now they're going to have their own land. God is blessing them. But watch the warning. Drive the people there out. Read.
Then it shall come about that those whom you let remain of them.
If you don't drive them out, those who remain there, read.
Will become as pricks in your eyes.
Whoa! They're going to become as pricks in your eyes.
And as thorns in your sides. And they will trouble you.
Whoa!
In the land.
If you don't get rid of these people, those people will always be a problem. They will always be a thorn. If you don't break the branch, then the branch will always produce thorns. You'll have to deal with thorns later because of what you didn't drive out now. There are self-imposed thorns, and there are thorns that come about from our neglect to deal with things. Our neglect to get rid of some things. Our neglect to do away with some things. They weren't supposed to partner with the people there. They weren't supposed to marry them. They weren't supposed to intermarry with them. He's saying, now watch this. This is now another type of Adam situation. The first Adam was Adam. The second, watch this. Well, not the second, but another Adam, imperfect Adam, was Israel. Israel was a person originally. God called his people by a man's name, Israel. And he's telling this man, this nation, that if you don't drive them out, you're going to have a problem with thorns again. Here's the principle for your life, and I want you to take this with you. You cannot neglect or evade or ignore doing away with certain things prior to going into the blessing. Yes, sir. Right. We're about to make this transition. And I, you know, let me tell you something. It has been the most frustrating thing. This is frustrating, man. There are times I get frustrated. Almost, I mean, I'm from New York, so I don't cry. I don't cry over it. I almost cry. But God is... See, sometimes the delay is a blessing. Just like God delayed Israel and they ended up 40 years. Why? Because you got to get it. You got to get it now. Because if you don't get my commandment now and my warning now, you're going to have problems 10 years from now based upon, you're going to have thorns 10 years from now based upon your refusal to deal with the people today. What I'm saying to you is some of the thorns and the discomforts and the problems and the issues that we deal with will happen if we don't deal and get rid of some things in our lives now. Bible says train up a child in the way he should go. If your kid is slapping you in the face at 3, you're going to have thorns at 13. Don't miss this. Are you seeing this? God, with every blessing, gives a warning because he wants us to come into what he has for us and be able to enjoy it. Here is the principle. There is an agricultural principle that says you reap what you sow, but you don't reap it when you sow it. And some of the thorns we have in society today are the result of certain things that we didn't get rid of earlier. And so what God is saying is, look, do away with these people. When you go into this land, I'm blessing you with this land. This is your land. If you decide to keep these people, if you decide to intermarry with them, if you decide that you want to partner with them and network with them, they're going to always be thorns in your eyes. And if you look at the history of Israel, boom, 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 boom. The problems that they had in the promised land was because of the thorns they didn't clip when they got there. All of you can think of something you need to clip. Some relationship you need to clip. Some partnership you need to clip. Some bad habit you need to clip. Something you need to clip. It's small now. It's a prick now. But if you don't clip it now, if you don't do away with it now, if you don't crush that thing now, it's going to grow. And as it grows, it will pose a perpetual problem for you. And you really will never get to enjoy what God has for you the way he wanted you to enjoy. So there's self-imposed thorns. Some thorns that come about because of refusal to do away with things. Is there anybody in here that has something that ever has something, yeah, in your mind right now that you're saying, I need to stop? I need to stop. You don't have to say amen. Your faces are betraying you. I need to stop. This needs to stop. I got to stop doing this. I got to stop thinking like this. Yes, you do. Because there are no blessings that God gives us imperfectly. Anything imperfect about your blessing or my blessing becomes imperfect because of what we bring to it. Everything is supposed to be right. God gives it to us right. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. But he says you have to drive them out. Watch the collaboration. God was driving them out, but then he tells them to drive them out. God is saying, I'm doing my part, but you got to do your part. And if you decide not to do your part, your kids and your grandkids will be dealing with the thorns you did not do away with. And there's some of you sitting in there thinking, and the Holy Spirit is working in your heart right now. And you're thinking of some of the things you have to deal with some of the blessings you have. And you can think retrospectively that if I didn't allow this, this wouldn't have happened. If I didn't allow this, this wouldn't have happened. And that wouldn't have happened. And you see where you should have clipped it. And now you're blessed. But you're blessed with thorns. Your relationship is good, but you have these thorns, these thorns in real life. Let me give you real life examples. Sometimes in relationships, when trust is broken, it creates thorns. Yes. Now watch this. You'll be married. Yeah. You'll have the sweet fruit of marriage. But your marriage can acquire so many thorns that you can't be comfortable and you can't comfortably fully enjoy the blessing of marriage. Are y'all hearing me today? This is going to bless somebody in here. You know, not even just marriage, but if you have a trail of experiences prior to marriage, you can create thorns while you're single for a marriage you're not even in yet. Because there are certain things that if you don't clip, they're not just going to grow, but they're going to grow and be resistant to you. They're going to grow and do everything to block your blessing. They will make it difficult for you to enjoy what God has for you. Okay, so let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Is this helping anybody? Are you hearing what God is telling you? He's saying, daughter, you gotta clip that. You can't take this with you. You can't have this partnership and enjoy this blessing. You can't have this relationship and enjoy this blessing. You can't have this habit and enjoy this blessing. You can't have this demeanor and enjoy this blessing. Now, the blessing is yours. I'm giving it to you. But my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. What I'm giving you is easy. What I'm doing for you is easy. What I'm giving you is easy. It's perfect. You are supposed to grow up, and you're supposed to, young person, you're supposed to have everything you need to have. I'm blessing you. Be content, and as long as you're content, you'll have all you need. I will supply all your need according to my riches and glory. It is not what God is doing that gets in the way. It's thorns. Especially and particularly the one we impose. But then sometimes God will allow thorns. Why? Because the thorn prevents us from the fruit becoming a problem. Okay. And in other words, some of us would get arrogant about our fruit if we didn't have to deal with thorns to get it. Hello? Sometimes I'm blessed. I'm best. I'm better than blessed. And it's just a matter of time before you're better and blessed have you feeling better than somebody else. So watch what with Paul. God bless Paul. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7, the Bible says what?
Because of your suppressing greatness of the revelations, for this season, to keep me from exalting you, there has given me a thorn in the flesh of a messenger of Satan to torment.
Now, theologically, this is really a stake. But the terminology is being used as some kind of colloquialism. It's the same concept of thorn. We know that Paul was not just talking about a little thorn. He was talking about a stake, something, just a like a stake, like a sharp piece of wood. That's how humongous it was. But here's the thing. He was blessed first with revelations. What that's saying is Paul saw some things that nobody else saw. God let him in. God gave him backstage passes to what heaven was doing. Oh, my God. I mean, he was not an apostle who walked with Jesus. So God gave him these revelations where he saw things that were supernatural. He saw beyond the present realm. And whether it was in a vision or whether it was in action, in apparent reality, he didn't know, but he saw some things. In other words, he was blessed. God laid his, but he was blessed with revelation. And so God says, because I bless you so much with revelation, I'm going to give you a thorn. In other words, you got so much, you got this big, big blueberry garden, but you've become arrogant and you'll think you monopolize blueberry products. So I'm going to put some thorns in there. And what the thorns are going to do is they're going to keep you humble enough not to become arrogant about your blessings, but not so low enough to where you can't enjoy them. This is not your fault, Paul. This is not from something you sinned. This is not from a bad decision. This is not from something you did that was a transgression or iniquity. What I'm doing is I'm going to turn the curse of the thorn into a blessing. And if this is true, because he says the messenger of Satan sent to buffet me, if this is true, then it's also true that all blessings aren't comfortable. We need to change our theology about what a blessing is. Some of us think blessings have to be comfortable. And so we thank God for all of the pleasurable blessings. We thank God for you know, we get a raise. We think, oh, God is good. We thank God. We get a car. We thank God. Yeah. But some of us need to thank God for our enemies, because the reason why we still talk to them, the reason why some of us still talk to God, is because we have the enemies we have. The reason why some of us still even associate with God and depend on God the way we do is because if he left us blessed and blessed alone in the ways we wanted to be blessed, we'd forget how much we need him. So he says, Paul, I'm going to give you this thorn, this messenger of Satan sent to hit you, to strike you. Theologians believe that. Somebody says, one theologian says it could have been his eyes. He had eye problems. Another theologian said it could have been the fact that he was single and had these urges. And you know what? I'm so glad that the Bible doesn't say what it was, because we can fill in the blanks when we relate to Paul. What would that be for you? That thing that doesn't allow you to fully get pumped up about all of the good things in your life because you got that thing. In that case, when it's not your fault, when it's not because you didn't do away with something you should have done away with, when it's not because of your iniquity, your transgression, your sin, because of bad decision, and you when it's not the result of that, it just might be because God wants to keep you in a place where you can enjoy your blessing the way he wants you to. So he gives you and allows you to have a thorn. I would be but this. And some of us wish ourselves out of our thorn, but God doesn't, he doesn't allow that. He says no. On Wednesday nights, and I want to encourage you to come the Wednesday night Bible class, we've been dealing with insecurities. We've been dealing with insecurity and how to deal with it and how to understand it. And insecurity is a silent killer. But some of those insecurity you're not supposed to be rid of. Some of your insecurities you're supposed to have, or else you'd become a mean, spiteful, hateful, belligerent, arrogant person. But you know what God does to keep us right? Just when we would be swelled up with arrogance and pompous pride, that thorn will strike. Somebody will remind you that you have a kid that had a kid out of wedlock. Somebody would remind you that you have a prison record. You'd be getting pompous and arrogant. Somebody will remind you that you were womanizing. Suddenly you'll see somebody from your past that knows you more intimately than anybody else in the room other than your wife. Remind you, somebody will see the tattoo that says something that represents where you were in your life at that period. Right. Wow. Y'all quiet. But in spite of what the thorn is, whether we impose it on ourselves, what God does through Jesus, this is beautiful. When Jesus died on the cross, he was not just redeeming humanity. He was just not coming to redeem humanity. He was redeeming creation. Okay? You got to understand that. Go to Romans chapter 8. I want you to see something. Oh, my God. I said I'd teach today because it's hot. And we're just about done. Romans 8, and I'm going to read this. I want you to see this. We have two preachers in the house. Chris Mitchell walked in. It's so good to see him here as well. Romans 8 says something very interesting. Look at this. And that was the old way, that was the old man's way of saying, look a here. You know, old people say, look a here. He says in verse number 19, Romans chapter 8, well, verse 20, for the creation was subjected to futility. Okay, watch this. This is going to make so much sense. right? Creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the free. What does that mean? What are you talking about? You know, when Adam messed up, it just wasn't Adam and Eve that paid for it. Remember when God destroyed the world with a flood? You know what God said before he destroyed the world? He said, I regret that I have made not just man. I regret I made everything. You don't believe me? Go to Genesis 6. See, we were just about to be finished, but you looked at me like. And so I gotta show you what I'm talking about. It just didn't mess with Adam and Eve. It messed with creation. So now guess what? Plant life has to have a defense mechanism. Animals became carnivorous. Carnivorous means meat eaters. You do know that everything ate from the herb of the field. That's right. Lions, tigers, and bears were vegetarians. Everything. But when sin came into the world, it threw the cosmos off. And God was upset, not with man, but the whole system. He regretted the whole system because it's so tied together that when man messed up, God said, cursed is the what? Ground. Now, thorns and thistles, right? And I'm here to tell you today that when we mess up, it just doesn't mess up. Somebody said, you know, I just want to do my own business. No, sin is systematic. It is systemic. You can't lie and think your lie is just going to be benign. There's a malignancy to sin. And like water, it will find the crack and it will replicate. And sometimes that replication is in our own children. It's amazing how, it's amazing how often we say, I don't know what's wrong with these kids. We forgot about that period, some of us, forgot about that period in our lives when we gave our parents the opposite of heaven. We just dismissive of that. Ran away from home, had your mom crying, hated your daddy, this and that and the other. You grew up, got mature, the Lord turned your life around, and suddenly you don't know what's wrong with these kids. Do inventory. If you don't say amen, say ouch, because it's systematic. Genesis chapter 6. Y'all all right? It's all right to have a good time. Genesis chapter 6, I want you to look at this. This is very, very poignant. Let's start with verse number 5.
Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth.
Whose wickedness did he see? Pay attention to this. He saw that the wickedness of who?
Man.
Whose wickedness?
Man.
Man! Look what he said. Look what it said.
And that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only...
Of evil. His heart, talking about man, was evil what?
Continually.
Read.
The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth.
He was sorry that he had made man on the earth. Read.
And he was grieved in his heart.
Grieved in his heart. Read.
The Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the...
Watch face. This. I will blot out man who I have created. Read.
From the face of the land.
Read.
From man to animals.
Whoa, wait. Man, animals...
To creeping things and to birds.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What the spider got to do with anything? Man was the one who messed up. Y'all see this? God says, I'm going to blot out man, animals, creeping things. Read.
Birds in the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them.
I regret making man? No. I regret making them. Why? Because when man sinned, them got distorted. Are you understanding? The them, creation. So not only did Jesus come to redeem man, but because man is part of a system, he came to redeem creation. So creation is waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. Well, how did he do it? It's not an accident. I used to say that there were five piercings representing the grace of God that Jesus had on the cross. But there were not five simple piercings. In Revelation, the number for man is the number six. There were six piercings on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, they nailed his hands, one, two. They nailed his feet, three, four. They pierced his side, five. But don't forget that before all of that began, they took the icon of humanity and creation's production of worthless agriculture, and they platted it into a crown, and they placed the crown on his head. But it wasn't a crown that was just made of wood. It was a crown of thorns, so that when they placed it on his head, the crown of thorns pierced him. The thorns represent in form what creation has produced because of man's sin. So as the Son of God, he takes piercings, and as the Son of Man, he takes piercings to redeem not only humanity, but all of creation, because it's all tied together. So Jesus says, you got some worthless things in your life? It's hanging on the cross with me. You don't have to be completely subject to the thorns in your life, because on that cross was not just our sins, but our burdens. Not just our sins, but our weights. Not just our sins, but everything that can be represented by worthless agriculture and nature's hostility to humanity. He's wearing it on the cross. And by that blood, he redeems not only humanity, but the whole system. And thus, when we read in Romans chapter 8, it says that all of creation groans for the revelation and the revealing of the sons of God. Because there are things that happen and that we have in the world today that are thorns that were never designed by God, but the result of man. And somebody in here, you're dealing with some thorns. Something you brought on yourself, or something God has given you, no matter what it is. Jesus paid it all. And thus we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But let me tell you something. Just as God told Israel, I'm going to drive out the people, he also tells them, you have to drive it out. I'm going to drive them out. I'm doing my part to drive them out, but you have to make sure you drive them out. I'm going to let them hear. One of the ways God drove them out is God allowed them, without email or voicemail or Facebook or Instagram or a text message, he allowed them to hear everything he did in Egypt to the Egyptians. Amen. So by the time Israel got there, they were already scared. But they weren't supposed to partner with them. And he says, if you don't, they're going to be thorns. How many of you are dealing with thorns today? You don't have to answer. That's very rhetorical. Because I know all of us are. Amen. That's that thorn. If I wouldn't have made this decision, I get it. I made this decision. Some of us are dealing with thorns financially. We wasted our substance on riotous living. And if some of us had all the money back that we wasted, we'd be millionaires three times over. Thorns. But praise God, He's merciful. He's merciful. And in spite of my thorns, my testimony has been that God has kept me and preserved me. And guess what? In many cases, He didn't take away the thorns. He just made the fruit sweeter. So that by the time I got pricked and stuck and was made uncomfortable, by the time I got to the blessing, it was so sweet that every stick and every prick was worth all of the things I went through. And God will do that for you. He won't always take away your thorns. You have to reap some things, but what He'll do is He'll make the fruit worth the thorns, and He'll give you the strength. But this altar call is a call for those of you who have something you got to get rid of. Something you got to get rid of. I was going to preach a sermon called Harvest Happens. And it's the concept of sowing and reaping and how it happens. And we say, yeah, you got to reap what you sow. Yes, you do. But God is sovereign when it comes to harvest. Watch this example. In the Old Testament, when God got angry with His people, you know what He would tell them? He would tell them, when your crops come in, I'm going to send the devourer. I'm going to send the locusts to eat up everything you produce. You're going to plant fields, but they're not going to give. Watch this. You're not going to eat because I'm going to send the locusts to eat up everything. That means God is sovereign even in the harvest. But if God can send the locusts to kill your fruit because of His wrath and because of His discipline, if God has the authority and the sovereignty to send locusts to eat up all of your fruit and the blessings in your life and the blessings in Israel's life, does He not have the power to send the same locusts to eat up all of the bad stuff coming in? It's called the sovereignty of God's harvest. He can do whatever He wants to do. And if you were honest and I were honest today, nobody, all of us here can attest that we didn't get it back the way we sent it. Praise God. We didn't get it back the way we said. God gave us everything we deserve. None of us would be sitting in here today. None of us would be in our right frame of mind. But God, in His grace and in His mercy, sometimes God clipped a couple of thorns so that we can dodge and maneuver through the thorns. And yeah, we got stuck here, but He healed us so that we can keep pressing our way. And yes, we're dealing with thorns. And yes, we're dealing with things that we wouldn't have to deal with if we didn't make this decision and that decision and that decision, but God's grace is sufficient, as He told Paul. He said, Paul said, remove it. Jesus, he asked Jesus three times. You know what Jesus told him? Jesus told him that the grace that I give you is sufficient. Just be grateful that there's fruit beyond the thorn that you don't deserve. Stand to your feet. I just wanted to talk to you, Mountain View. This was not the hooping and hollering. Matter of fact, I think my suit is pretty dry. With so many people gone, I just wanted to have a conversation with the beautiful saints here. And I hope you heard what God is telling you and I. He's saying life would be so much better for you. Watch this. A lot of times we ask God to bless us. But God is saying, I already did. You just got to drive out some things. Lord, please bless me. I gave you the blessing. But you carrying something that's making you not see. You carrying something that's blocking your blessing. Well, I'm going through this and that and the other. Let it go. Let it go. Like the small kid, small child that saw a bee on the ground and picked the bee up. And the bee stung the kid, and the kid, just crying, Parent went to the kid and saw the baby crying, just the two-year-old, And the parent looked, was looking, and noticed that the place the pain was coming from was inside his hand. And if the pain was going to go away at any point, had to let go. Some of us are praying to God about pain and pricks that we holding on to. God is saying, I have the salve to heal you, but you won't let go.